they are going to love this.
Merry Christmas! Hello, my name is David, and I am spreading the Christmas joy, and I would love for you guys to sing me a Christmas carol.
You want us to sing?
I want you to sing me a Christmas carol.
No.
Four calling birds, three French horns, two turtle ducks. Merry Christmas! Would you sing me a Christmas carol, please? I'm Christmas bells, I'm on the
reindeer. And
those
reindeer.
Jingle bells.
I love Christmas so much. I can't even explain to you how much I love Christmas. You can't get peppermint mocha during October. And I can listen to Christmas carols all day long. In fact, I usually do.
Noel.
Great, thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Okay, how many are right there like you could listen to Christmas carols all day long? Raise your hand, okay, because you love them, right? Well, that's our series calling, we're calling it Carols, and what we're doing is we're taking a look at some of the Christmas carols that maybe we would like to sing all day long, or maybe we do, and kind of diving behind them just a little bit, really calling us back to what is really the deep meaning of some of these Christmas carols that we sing, some of these Christmas hymns. Now, we're not talking about like, Here Comes Santa Claus, Here Comes Santa. That's not a Christmas hymn or a Christmas carol or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They're a lot of fun and so on. But we're talking about some of those that are kind of locked into our brain. Really, they represent some of those that we drag out like one time a year. And for those of you who still have a box of CDs, you know, you got them tucked away. But during this time of year, you pull them out. And you play them, and then come January or some point after Christmas, you'll tuck them back away, right? Or you go to your Pandora channel or whatever it is you do and bring out the Christmas music. My wife, I sort of kind of got permission to tell this story. And the way that happened was she was an 8 o'clock gathering, and I told it, and she didn't tell me to stop. So I've been telling it all day. She's a Christmas music holic. Okay, you got that? A Christmas music-holic. What that means is she's addicted to Christmas music. What that means is she starts Christmas music in our home long before Thanksgiving. And all day I've heard people when I say that go like, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing if you're a music-holic, Christmas music-holic, nothing's wrong with that. She got all the markers of it, right? So she loves it, and then oftentimes I'll be, not now, but you know, pre-Thanksgiving, I'll be coming down the stairs and I'll hear the Christmas music and I'll hear her run over and shut it off. It was like I couldn't hear it, you know, stuff like that. You know, because she is, and I love it. I love it too. But maybe I want to draw us back to the deep meaning of a particular Christmas hymn today. Last week was O Holy Night. Next week is Away in the Manger. But the hymn that we're going to look at today, which is really an invitation, is rooted in Psalm 95. So if you have your Bibles, you can go. There's coming up on the screen as well. If you've launched YouVersion Live on your smartphone or your tablet, you're going to find it there. But Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today.
And oh, come. Come and behold.
Wasn't that hymn that we just sang? Dates way back into the 1700s when it was originally written. And just we were to walk through the verses. This is what we find, that the first verse calls us to visualize a new Jesus who arrived in a little stable in Bethlehem. The second stanza, which we usually omit in most hymnals, reminds us that the Christ child came as God himself. It really was God in the flesh. And then the next stanza, the angelic choir that's heard by the shepherds, and we know that story. And then the final verse of praise. But I want to draw us right back to that very first verse as we kind of dive deeper into this Christmas hymn that is on our minds a lot. But I pray we'll kind of maybe bring a brand new, fresh perspective on who Jesus is and who God is. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. And as we kind of draw back and consider particularly three words and what's an invitation to come to him, we can almost draw a line right there and go, look, I'm not so sure I feel faithful and joyful and triumphant today. Just think about that for a moment. I mean, some of us, when we sing that, O come all ye faithful, we're going to go like, you don't know quite what my life has been like. Faithful is like the thing that I would, you know, it's not the way I would describe my own life. Man, I've made so many mistakes. I've messed it up. I've screwed it up so many times. So, like, that's not me. Faithful? Oh, come all ye faithful? How about joyful? Look, that doesn't describe who I might be today. Oh, come all ye faithful and joyful. I mean, if you knew what I was facing in my life today, right, this joyful thing is not a part of my life. I want to dive deeper into that today and what that means to all of us. And triumphant, you know what that is? That's that moment when you kind of cross the finish line, right? And you just go like, yay, made it, man. We're triumphant. Oh, come all ye faithful and joyful and triumphant. You know, speaking of joy, I love the Christmas season. I love all the surroundings and all the stuff. I even love, you know, to kind of hang out at the mall with my wife mostly. Now, we kind of do the online shopping a lot, and I thank God for online shopping, you know. And she does most of it. Actually, she does all of it. So I got to be truthful, too. But we do go to the mall, and we do have our list, you know, that we're going. But something comes over me. I don't know what it is, if it's a guy thing or whatever, but like we got our list, you know, and we're shopping for our grandkids because the kids don't count anymore, you know, when it comes to Christmas shopping. It's all about the grandkids. And so we have the list, and when I get to the mall, it's like, I'm going to get everything on this list, and I'm going to do it in record time. Have you been there? Is that a guy thing? It's like, you go from this end of the mall to this end of the mall. If I don't find it, we're going to go over, and we're rushing all over the place, and you know how it is. Like, you choose the shortest line because it's the fastest line, right? And when you get in that line, what happens? Yeah, it takes, like, forever. It just stops, and, you know, nobody writes checks today, but three people in front of you are writing checks. And one of them, you know, there's no barcode on the gift, so they got to go find the barcode and all that kind of stuff. It just seems like, and all of a sudden, this, you know, this joyful thing is kind of disappearing anymore. It's no fun anymore. The reality is, like, some of us are sitting here today and we talk about joy, you go, it's not like part of my life. Joy is not part of my life. Forget the shopping thing. Some of us, like, go, how do you do that when you ain't got any money or a job or no one to buy for, maybe? So when we talk about joy, no, there's a line right there. I can't even go there. And triumphant, that's something way down. Oh, come all ye faithful and joyful and triumphant. Some of us have experienced deep pain this past year. Some of us come into this holiday season and there are a lot of hurts and so on. So when we talk about joy, that's just not a part of our life. But I want to take us deeper there, because if you land in any one of those places at all today, you think like you've messed it up so many times, or Jesus doesn't love you for whatever reason, or this joy is kind of absent for your life, I have good news for you, because this hymn that we sing is rooted in Scripture and is an invitation to come to him. Oh, come all ye. Jesus calls the weary and the broken and the sinners. Just listen to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you, everybody say it, rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. The call to come and to live and to abide in him, this hymn that we sing is rooted in Scripture. It's an invitation to live in him, to abide in him, to come to him. Even if we're in that place where we think the joy is gone or life is this way or and I've messed it up, come to me. Come, he says, all you who are heavy and heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. There's a kind of a really cool word picture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And I memorized it years and years and years ago in the King James Version. Just cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And in the NLT, the version I use today, it reads like this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Give all your worries and cares to God, because he cares about you. Cast all your cares upon him, because he careth for you. And some of your Bibles read that way. That casting, that action of casting or giving our burdens to him, it's a verb. It's a decisive action on our part to take those things that burden us, whatever they are, the worries of life, all the stuff that kind of seems to pile on sometimes, take all of those things and give them, cast them onto him and let him carry them. Cast all your care upon him. Years ago, I was hiking up in the Cascade Mountains, and we were on this really long, extended hike, and I was carrying a pretty heavy backpack like the rest of the guys were, 75 pounds, in fact. At least I think that's a heavy backpack. And we had set out for the day. We were on like the eighth or ninth day of this extended hike, and we headed up over this mountain pass, and the problem is that we kind of misgauged the distance. And so we were finding ourselves stuck or potentially stuck on this mountain pass as the sun was setting and it was getting dark and it was getting pretty cold. In fact, the next morning, woke up with ice, you know, on our sleeping bags and so on like that. But as we were kind of stuck in that spot, pretty soon we hear something behind us, and we look behind us, and guess what? Here comes a guy with a whole bunch of pack horses. And he says, hey, can I help you guys? Can I take your packs? No, it's okay. We're going to do it ourselves. We'll just carry these packs ourselves, not knowing if we're going to get over the mountain. What do you think our response was to that? It's like, are you kidding me? Can you take them? And so we took those things off, and we loaded them on these pack horses or donkeys, whatever they were, and off we took with them. We'd have been nuts, man, to go, you know what, I'll just keep it. I'll just hang on to it. I'll just carry this load myself. We'll see if we make it. I'll just do my own thing. You know what I mean? That would have been nuts, man. None of you would have done that, and we didn't either. And he took those things, and he took them over the mountain, and he delivered them. We just kind of walked freely to the place where he had dropped them off. The problem is, you know, in life, we sometimes do that, don't we? We keep that stuff. Jesus says, cast all your care upon me, or come to me, this invitation, oh, come all ye. And he says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. And we go, no, that's okay, God, I got it. I'll just carry this stuff for a while. And Jesus say, look, just come. Oh, come ye. You know, what we also do sometimes is we give him that stuff, and then what do we sometimes do? You're never guilty of that, are you? Like all of us probably are. We take it back, don't we? Listen, before he calls us to come to him, guess what? He came to us. That's what we're celebrating, isn't it? Christmas, Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. For I have come, Jesus, to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. He has come to us, and now he calls us to come to him. And when we do, he calls us. It's an invitation to a brand new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. How many can celebrate that? You see, When we place our life in him, he makes us a brand new person. And this new creation living, it's like different than any other. It looks different than other ways of living. And it leads us to the joy that we're going to talk about in just a moment, of living. While every other religious story calls us to do something and to do stuff to become faithful, every other religious story says you have to do this to become faithful. The faithful are those who abide in Jesus. That's the gospel story. Every other religious story, do this, do this, do this to become faithful. The gospel story is abide in him. Come to Jesus. Years ago, I was in my office and someone just randomly stopped by the church office and wanted to talk to somebody, and it was a young lady. And so I took some time, obviously, to talk with her. And as she began to share her story, honestly, it was one of those times when I was deeply heartbroken in those moments, and the stories never left my mind. And she began to tell about her quote-unquote faith journey. She shared with me that she's Baha'i, and then went on to share about all the stuff that you have to do. All the stuff. And we talked, and she left. And I was heartbroken over that story, because that's the story of every other religious story, but not the gospel story. The faithful are those who abide in Jesus. Now, you got your Bible? Let's focus on that word faithful for just a moment. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. It's also coming up on the screen. And again, if you've launched YouVersion Live, it's there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And let's just talk about, O come all ye faithful, for just a moment. And let us run, in the middle of the verse here, let us run with endurance. I've circled that word endurance. We'll come back to that in a second. The race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Now, some of you have a version that reads this way. He's the author of our faith and the perfecter of our faith. And I really like that word author, because it simply means this, that he pioneered the path of faith for us to follow. He's the author of our faith. He's the one who pioneered the faith, and it's a pathway for us to follow today. He's the perfecter of our faith. The perfecting of our faith is nothing to do with what we do or what we don't do. The perfecting of our faith comes when we fix our eyes on Jesus. It's how our faith is able to move forward. Jesus went first and completed the journey, and our eyes are fixed on him and on he alone. We run this race with no eyes for anyone or anything except Jesus. And so, O come all ye faithful, means that we come to him, eyes fixed on him alone and no one else. And so, kind of if you're struggling in that area this morning, I just have a question for us today. Who or what are your eyes fixed on? If they're fixed on the person that you love the most and you're depending upon them, it will never work. If your eyes are fixed on and focus on anyone other than Jesus, it will never work. He calls us to abide in him, to fix our gaze upon him, the one who pioneered our faith, the one who is the perfecter of our faith. Now, there's a word there that is kind of a scary word, maybe, and it's the word endurance. And so let's run with endurance the race God has set before us, and we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So we have this race that we're running, and the word endurance is a word that I've circled, because often when we talk about endurance, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? If you're going to endure, what comes to your mind if you're going to endure something? Just shout it out. Struggle, yeah. What was that? Pain, yeah, exactly. And back here? Yeah, exactly. All of those words, right? If I'm going to endure, that's going to be painful, and that's going to be a struggle, and it's going to be really, really difficult. It's like, I've endured this. You know what I mean? Something a little bit different here, and I won't talk about that for just a moment, because everything to do with what we're talking about. That word endure is translated from a word called hypomone. It's the Greek word. And it just simply means this, that we remain under him, as we remain under him, with eyes fixed on him, we run this race that God has set before us. We remain under him. We abide in him. We persevere. Perseverance is just the next step. Hippomone, persevere. We remain under. Hippo, under. It's where we get our word hypodermic needle. Now, hypo, hippo, under. So if you go to the doctor, or you go to the nurse, or you go to the shot people, whoever gives you your shots, it'd be crazy if you walked in there and they said, okay, I got the shot for you, and they just kind of stood back and they went and they just squirted you with the stuff. That does not work. And you would go, like, that's supposed to work? Because you're expecting what to happen for them to give you what? A shot. And where does it go? Yeah, exactly. Under, hippo, under, hypodermic, hippo. Hippomone, endure, remain under him. By the way, just like that shot thing doesn't work unless it goes in and remain under, it doesn't work to do life in any other way except for under him and abiding in him, persevering. You see, life is made up of a bunch of little stuff. Life is filled with next steps. It's just a step. Life is filled with next steps as we persevere, as we remain under him with eyes fixed on no one else or nothing else than Jesus alone. And as we run this race, we look at someone who has done it successfully. That's Jesus, the author. He's the one who pioneered the way and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who ran the race. He's the one who completed the journey. And now he calls us, oh, come ye, to abide in him in this race. And as we do, he, the author of and the perfecter of our faith, enables us to take the next step. Are you struggling today? Who is it that you have your eyes on, or what is it that you have your eyes on today? We're to fix our gaze. I mean, there's an old song, and you know, like lots of you will remember it. Talks about those things in life that kind of take us away from our setting our gaze on him, fixing our gaze on him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. How many, that's, you can think about that. How many is it new to? Okay, lots, that's okay. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. That's how it goes. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. In other words, as we fix our eyes on him, the things of this world that kind of want to draw our attention away from him, our gaze away from him, those things grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, in the light of the one who authored and pioneered our faith. A mother, I shared this story some years ago, it bears repeating, I think. mother was washing the hair of her daughter, and she was telling a story. Now, every parent here has done, you've experienced it, and we've experienced as kids, like mom, dad wash our hair, and soap gets in your eyes and it burns, right? And that's what was happening, that's what was taking place here. The mother tells the story, the soap was going into her daughter's eyes, it was burning her eyes, and she was crying, and she remembers saying to her daughter, if you just look up at me, it won't hurt so bad. And she said, when I said that to my daughter, the Holy Spirit just dropped that thought right back in her heart. He said, if you will do that same thing, it won't hurt so bad. And see, what happens in all of life, when we fix our gaze on him, the things of this life grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. It's an invitation, O come all ye, to abide in him, to fix our gaze upon him, to focus and to remain under him in this life and take the next step. Faithfulness leads to an abiding, lasting joy. Let's talk about joy. O come all ye faithful and joyful. Abiding in him, this faithfulness leads to lasting joy. Joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Abiding in him. I don't have to tell you, it's not news to anybody, that if you plant an apple tree, the apple tree is going to grow what? Yeah, no trick question, it's going to grow apples. It's not like the apple tree is going to squeeze out an apple. Its nature is to grow apples. When we come to Jesus and when we abide in him, the fruit of the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit living in us and active in us, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. It's a natural result of abiding in him. The new creation that we talked about and read about in 2 Corinthians, the Bible says that we receive Christ, Christ puts his Spirit in us, and that same Spirit that Christ raised from the dead, right, as a result, it's the joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what I want to talk to you about is something I told my grandkids last night. I said, I think tomorrow I'm going to ruin the Christmas of every student. Not meaning to, but because I think there's something really important that we have to grasp today, all of us. And it's this, that joy is different than happiness. Can you say that with me? Will you? Joy is different than happiness. The problem that we need to kind of get over, get under, whatever, get around, however we do it, is this, that we've linked joy and happiness together. And that's a problem. We've linked joy and happiness together. You see, happiness depends upon happenings. Joy comes from something totally different, and it's rooted in a life in Jesus. Happiness depends upon happening. So here's how that looks like. There's that looks like. If I get this job, if that happens, then I'll be happy. Okay? If this goes right in my life, if this happens correctly, then that will lead to happiness. If my health stays perfect and I never age, then I'll be happy. That leads to happiness. What was it, yesterday, I think, or day before? Read the news about the latest lottery winner in our state. What was it, like $90 million? Did you read that? Something like $90 million. Now, if you read that, how many of us, you don't even have to raise your hand, thinking like, if that were me, man, I'd be really happy right now. Has that thought ever crossed your mind? You got to be honest now, you're in church, right? See, so happiness is based on happenings. If this happens, for some of us, kids, maybe. We made the Christmas. I love it when my grandkids make the Christmas list. And of course, our goal, right, is to make them happy by what? Getting everything on the list. Happiness depends upon that happening. I remember as a young student, it's like it was a pair of boots. I can remember that now. You know, and I wanted those so bad. To my mother, that's what I want, and don't want anything else. And I was like, if you give me anything else, I'm not going to be happy, because it was dependent upon that one thing. How about this? I don't like what's going on in my life right now. And if I can get rid of this thing that's going on in my life right now, I can be happy. If that's your life, if your life, your joy, your happiness is based on happenings, you're going to live a roller coaster life, and it's going to be a disappointing life for you, and it will be a disappointing life for me. I've seen people in our faith community here suffer the most devastating happenings in their life, literally. Things that we all cry about and with. Yet the joy is there, because joy and happiness are not linked together. Joy comes from Jesus, from following him obediently. The scripture reminds us, go to Hebrews chapter 12 again. And just verse 2b, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. By the word, that word endured is the same one we just read about and talked about earlier. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Listen, for the joy set before him, well, I don't need to even, it goes without saying, like the cross was not a happy moment. When you look at the cross and the death and the suffering that took place, what's it mean because of the joy awaiting him? What it means is for the sake of Jesus looked through the cross to the coming joy, bringing salvation to those that he loved. The joy that his sacrifice would result in was the bringing the salvation to you and to me, bringing salvation to us. It was the joy of what the result would be. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Jesus. And that joy comes from something that's not part of this world. It's not part of this world. It comes from abiding in him. Luke chapter 2, and then we're going to wrap up. It's part of the Christmas story. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great what? Joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. I bring you good news of great joy to all people, the Savior." As we abide in him, as we live our life in him, that joy that nothing else in this world can bring to us, that joy lives within us. And it's that joy that leads to a triumphant life. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. As we abide in him, we experience all of those things. So a couple questions, and then we're going to pray. For some of us, this can be the difference, will be the difference between another horrible Christmas, maybe because the happenings aren't there. That job didn't happen. This can be the difference between maybe another horrible Christmas for you because you base it on the happenings. For some of us, we haven't felt joy in a long, long time because we've linked it to something that is very temporal in this world. It's not linked to who Jesus is. We haven't felt welcomed by him because we have allowed the enemy to kind of pull us down and get our eyes on our own failures rather than on who Jesus is. So here it is. Here's the message today. Let our joy in Jesus be the overflow of abiding in him. We're called to abide in him. So four response questions. Here they are. Number one, what are you basing that sense of good cheer on this morning? Happenings or Jesus? If your joy is linked to happenings, you got to disconnect those two. Secondly, what or who are you fixing your eyes on this season? Anything or other than Jesus? Think about that. Thirdly, what needs to shift in your life so that you're abiding in him? What needs to shift? For some of us, it's going to be letting stuff go and fixing our gaze upon him. And then for some of us who feel weary and tired and brokenhearted, look, let's heed the call to come to him, shall we? Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing that hymn again. And I pray with just a brand new view of this invitation to come to him, to abide in him, and to find our life rooted in him. A joy that's not linked to happenings, but linked to who Jesus is. So, Father, would you just speak to us this morning right now? God, some of us we've linked our joy to the happenings in our life. And we've said things like, if I get this job or if this happens in my life, then I'll be joyful. But God, your word brings us away from that, pushes away from that. Because our joy is who you are and you living in our life. God, I just pray that would settle deep into all of our hearts today. So if you've linked those two, I just want to encourage us in this moment to just offer that up to Him. Just give that to Him and say, God, I choose to abide in You. Maybe that looks like casting Your care on Him, whatever it is. God, I give You that. You've called me to come, and I'm tired. And so I come to You today. And I desire to experience Your rest in my life. If you're weary and you're broken, you're just tired, let's just heed that call, shall we? Oh, come ye, faithful, joyful, and triumphant.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem.
As we go through the Christmas season and we sing that song in our celebrations, maybe in our home, we put it on the radio, let's begin to see it, shall we, as this invitation by Jesus to come to Him. Come to Him, ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Next week, we're talking about that great Christmas hymn, Carol, Away in the Manger. So Mara and I are going to be team teaching next week. It's going to be great. So here's what I encourage you to do. Like, just sing that throughout the week. Hum it to your neighbor. If you're married, hum it to your spouse. Hum it to your friend. You're worth anything. Like, start singing it if you can sing. If not, just hum it, whistle it, whatever. Away in the Manger. It's going to be great as we come together. If you're here and you've never experienced what we've been talking about, this abiding in Him, placing your faith and trusting Him, or you're struggling in that, I'm going to be right down here in front. David will be here too. Let's talk. Love to show you the way. Love to share with you what Jesus can do in your life. There'll be people in the lobby. I see Jess right over here. Perspectives, yay. Man, I just encourage you, if you want to know more about Perspectives, if you want to be involved in something that will change your life, is Perspectives. And you saw the price up there, $275. Kind of get that out of your head. That will scare away a lot of people. Talk to Jessica. You'll be out in the lobby about that, because there are ways to help people attend. So Father, we just go today. I've given You praise and give You thanks for who You are, and that as we abide in You, we experience that joy that nothing else can offer. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. See you next Sunday.